That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We support our local team and our local brewery, Phantom Brewery, and they've decided to support us back and you guys by offering a 10% off code EPR10 when used on their website, phantombrew.com, will get you 10% off anything you order this season. That code again, EPR10.
Lafondra looking to get Constantine of Font. Lafondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Look at this. Look at this. This is Christmas in a festive chestnut shell.
Very nice.
Hello, everyone. Season's greetings to you all. You're probably listening to this on the big day. It's the day when, as my granddad would say, the fat man in the sleigh has left us some
fat man with a white beard and from the north, he said yesterday.
Indeed.
And unfortunately, that's quite a good description of,
of Colin South. He won't be listening to this, that's fine. Hello, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
from the Elm Park Royals preview podcast. We've lost one of the three wise men, but we do have two self-certified wise men here today. Not as wise as the usual suspects, James Earnshaw and Jonathan Lowe from various Reading-based newspapers. But we've got the next best thing. I've roped in a very...
A local lad.
Yeah, local. He's a just local, a local lad.
Just brought him in.
You might recognise the surname. He's Finlay South Klein.
Hello, Merry Christmas.
Here he is. And he has been spending the whole of the festive period swatting up on Swansea City, who are opponents,
course, yeah.
2 days from now, after Boxing Day, on the 27th.
Mm.
And it's a penultimate fixture of 2022. At Swansea, historically, a bit of a bogey team.
Mm.
And I don't know if there's like a level up from bogey team, like double bogey
well,
team.
Well, it gets to the point of like arch rival, like nemesis territory, doesn't it?
First team to make me cry, actually.
Yeah.
At Wembley in 2011.
Oh, dear.
Also, my now girlfriend, Zoe Jenkins, full name, there you go, you can look her up
Merry
on Facebook
Christmas,
now.
Zoe.
Merry Christmas, Zoe. Her dad is from a place near Swansea called Sketty, and he was very disappointed after he drew 4-4 with them the time after last we played them. But no, looking at the stats, doesn't make for pretty reading. Swansea are undefeated in 21 of their last 22 matches against the Royals in every competition under the sun. It's bad. It's bad, it's bad, it's bad.
It's not good.
But you know what? We're full of the festive cheer. You never know. If as long as Lucas Zhou has been staying off the mince pies, we might just stand the chance. So Finn's here to run the rule over our Welsh opposition. What are we drinking, Finn?
We're drinking Oat to Space, which is an oat pale ale from Bedlam Brewery, who I work for, which is a bit shameless.
There you go. I mean,
free beer at Christmas.
Just to balance the books with my BBC impartiality, I should also give a shout out to our good sponsors, the people down at Phantom Brewing Co.
Well, hey.
RG1, who have probably had various festive booze flying off the shelves as we record. Former employer, of course.
Yeah, indeed. I finally, because you bought me a couple of beers from them, which I didn't realise were in my room. Until I came back last week to see the parents. So we consumed them when I got home.
Currently squirreled away in our parents' dining room. Mum's slaving over the sprouts. Mm. Dad's poking at the fire. Granddad's being held hostage by the in-laws. So it's just us two. And I suppose we better start talking about the football. The last game we played, if you listen to our post-match, we didn't have a lot to say about our 3-2 defeat to Birmingham. Archetypal game of two halves. We're going into this one, Finn, with a smattering of injuries. It's looking like Sam Hutchinson's going to be out, and you know that's obviously a big shame. The lesser-spotted Scott Dan, also looking like he's going to be out at a time when we could really do with defensive reinforcements, because Tom Holmes is still a doubt as well. So, I mean, how are you feeling going into this one, Finn?
I never feel particularly confident coming up against Swansea. They're one of two teams that I consider to be a bogey team of ours. The other one being Hull, who we managed to beat the other week. So, you know, Christmas miracles do happen. I'm a bit biased against Swansea because of their manager. I don't like Russell Martin.
I don't like
Martin. He comes across as a bit of an arrogant sod.
He is an arrogant sod.
Honestly, but what I will say is Swansea play quite good football. They do. He's got them playing proper, you know, progressive, build from the back, a lot of possession. I think if they're not top of the possession average leaderboard, then they must be top two.
Yeah.
You know, they love keeping the ball.
Very good at keeping the ball and very good at coming back from losing positions as well.
I wasn't going to say that. You know what? I was going to say, I'm probably thinking of last season more, but there have been several occasions where they've let like a two-goal lead go in stoppage time. Or, you know, with us, you know, we were 4-1 down, came back to 4-4. I think they were getting set for the playoffs and then fell apart really with throwing the lead away. But recent game, wasn't it? They were against Coventry, 3-0 down, came back to 3-3. They can score goals, and you know they're playing the right kind of football, but they're not the finished article yet. And to be fair to Russell Martin, he's only in his late 30s, early 40s. You know, he's a young manager, not particularly experienced just yet. I think they're a good team, Swansea, and it's annoying because whenever we come up against them, like I say, I never feel like we're guaranteed a 3 points or, you know, I always kind of think Swansea will nick it. So with that in mind, the last few fixtures that we've had against Swansea have been goal fests as well. Absolute goal fest.
If you look at our head-to-head record against the Swans, we had that 3-2 loss this season back in October, that 8-goal thriller when Tom McIntyre made himself a hero twice in 1 week when we drew 4-all, and then there's another 5 goals when we beat them 3-2. It's the first time we've beaten them in 22 games.
They've scored at least 2 goals. In the last 5 games that they've played against
us. Which is a bit nuts. You know,
which doesn't exactly bode well.
No, but then equally, the league table doesn't lie. We're sitting pretty in 12th at the moment, and Swansea are 11th, but on the same amount of points.
Yeah.
I mean, you say they're a bogey team at the moment. It's probably a good time to play in them, because they've drawn 4 of their last 5 games, but haven't won in 7. So, you never know. I mean, if Russell Martin and the gang have... Taking them all out for Christmas, you know. It's
fingers crossed.
Hopefully, they've all done a Calvin Phillips and they've come back in like terrible, terrible shape. But I don't know. It's they've got excellent names. I mean, you always get cutting edge actual match analysis on this podcast, obviously. But no, my favourite thing about Swans is the fact that they've got a squad of fantastically named players. Bender in goal.
Yeah.
Bender Darling at the back.
Benkabango. That's a good name.
Yeah. And then Joel Pirro up top is always really annoying. There's one player in particular.
Latibodier is a good name.
They play a wing back system like us, don't they? One player I wanted to single out just because you've actually seen him. Because Paul always teases me. He's like, oh, you know, I can't believe you've got the Southampton fan on the podcast.
But that's a stretch.
A low blow. Yeah.
Fair enough.
We've got to say something about Michael Obafemi. He terrorised and terrified us last time we played. But obviously, as an ex-Southampton player, you've seen him up close. He's doubtful for this one, and he's having an all right season for Swansea. Tell us a little bit about good old Michael.
I like him. I like Michael Obafemi. He had a few cameos under Ralph Hasenhüttl in the Premier League. He never really threatened to be, you know, Southampton's number 9. Even though, you know, in recent times, Southampton haven't had other than Danny Ings, really, who was fantastic, but we don't talk about Danny Ings anymore. They weren't spoilt for choice up front in terms of between Shane Long, Che Adams, Charlie Austin as well. Michael Obafemi kind of held his own in amongst the mix of strikers, but never really looked like he'd make it, which is a shame because he's a good, but he's quick, he's strong. And when he made the drop down to the Championship, he looks right at home. He's a proper goal scorer. Mm. So, and I, off the top of my head, he played a blinder when we drew 4-4.
That was right, yeah.
I don't think he scored two. Was it Pirro? I don't know, maybe Pirro got two. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Hang on,
I know he played well.
I'm going to do a Richard Osman and get the actual scorer on the laptop.
But he's at the Championship level, he's a fantastic striker. And it's not beyond the realm of impossibility that he'll become a good Premier League striker one day as well.
Obafemi got a goal in that game in the 4-4, and I'm pretty sure he scored in 3-2 recently. So it would be, let's have a little look. No, I have completely lied to you. He didn't do anything in that game. But I mean, it's a big boost for Reading if he is out.
Mm.
I know they've got other dangerous players.
Pirro, I really like. Really good player. Obviously, Matt Grimes.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a dictator in the middle.
Swansea were the opposition when Andy Christmas Carroll did his famous rowing boat celebration last year.
And Danny Drinkwater scored that game as well.
Yeah, God, I hadn't even thought of
Danny Drinkwater. I think that's his only goal that he scored for us.
There you go. I mean, there's something about playing Swansea that brings back all these memories of Brendan Rodgers, of
Scott Sinclair,
Jem Karachan in the post. You know, this is probably not the sort of thing you want to be listening to on Christmas Day, folks. Mm. I do apologise.
Phil Dowd.
Yeah, Christ. Yeah, never mind. I mean, on the subject of the Swans, the Finn always gives me pelters for like in their home and away kits, but their one this season, it's kind of nautical themed, isn't it? Have you seen the Swansea home kit this
year?
Yeah. It's got a weird collar. Hang on.
I quite like it, actually.
Can hear me tip-tapping away. There you go. Yeah, with the nautical star on it. Yeah.
I like Joma.
Last time I brought up a kit on the podcast, Coventry fan that we had on said, yeah, sorry, our deal with Hummel has just run out, actually, and they still blame me for that. So off the pitch at the moment for Reading, there's bits and bobs of news. I know you're not James Earnshaw, and I know you haven't been in a press conference with Paul Lynch recently. However, the big news is it's looking like a matter of time and a when, not an if, that Liam Moore's going to feature for us again in the near future. He's been given a squad number.
Mm.
There was a picture doing the rounds. He's obviously lost his number 6 shirt, but I think he's been given the 26 shirt. And I don't know about you, Finn. I'm kind of the disposition that if he's out of contract in the summer and we're paying him in the meantime, you may as well play him and get a bit of bang for your buck. I think the ship has sailed as far as it comes to giving him a new contract. And there's obviously a lot of complicated behind-the-scenes stuff that's gone on and you don't want to speculate. But if Moore were to make an appearance for Reading this season, you know, in the run-in, how's that making you feel?
I think we'd be stupid to not to use him, honestly. I can't think in recent history of a situation like it in terms of when that night when the statement came out about Liam Moore and said, yeah, it seemed to be pretty much directly from the ownership or a spokesperson for the ownership, you know. It's a real splitter, this one, isn't it? Because I think it's fair to say for a good year or two, Liam Moore has not performed great for Reading.
No, and we should really, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but to have turned down a £10 million bid, supposedly, from Brighton
is
going to be one of those all-time, like, what-if moments, really.
Sure.
But the reality is, we've got him on the books still. He had he was obviously injured whilst he was out alone at Stoke last season. Looked like he wasn't going to feature ever again for Reading. And then in the meantime, we've had the change of manager. And Paul Lintz has spoken very highly of him. Apparently, he's training well. I think Paul Lintz said that he's a machine or something along those lines, or like a beast.
Frankly, so, like the three centre backs that we choose each week, it's such a mismatch of it's either Hutchinson's injured, Saar's injured, Scott Dan seems to be eternally crocked.
I mean, Tom Holmes had a good season.
Yeardham has had to play a large majority of games at centre-back this season as well. And Bengue, unfortunately, had a bit of a mare against Birmingham. Yeah.
But you know what, you can forgive him it because he was fantastic.
Yeah, got, oh no, I'm not slagging him off at all. Yeah. I think we have got several great centre backs in that. I don't think it's clever to still hold a grudge against Liam Moore. We don't know really what went on.
No.
There was suggestion that he'd I can't remember what that statement said exactly, but it was something along the lines of, you know, he's suggested that his future isn't here at the club, and he was, and
to be fair, who can
it just seems to be a bit of, it just seems to have insulted the ownership to the point where, well, he is not going to have a career after this.
Especially when, like, Reading have been quite good to him in terms of, you know, he's on fair.
I don't remember the club. Quite honestly, if you were to look at this objectively from the outside, it seems like the club have kind of thrown him under the bus here.
Yeah, totally, and used him.
He's not had the opportunity to come out and say what. I mean, he wouldn't be able to anyway. No. Like, he'd have his contract like torn up or something. It doesn't smell right, particularly.
No.
And do you know what? We've had experience with Liam Moore, and several people have had, you know, personal experiences with Liam Moore where he's really gone out of his way to make a real difference to people.
Moore's like, tours.
You know, that infamous trip to Sheffield Wednesday. Yeah, he has a lot of time for a lot of people. Yeah.
Well, Paul Mann has interviewed him on this very podcast. Mm. So, you know,
he doesn't strike me as someone who would be unprofessional in this instance.
And to all intents and purposes, I mean, like, because we, you know, there's a limit to how much we can speculate since he's been back.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and in the photos, you know, he looks to be sort of hunkering down and obviously come back from a pretty serious injury, which meant he couldn't be moved on in the meantime. So, you know, we'll just have to wait.
If you want to look at it from a point of, has he played well for the last 18 months? No, he hasn't. So I'm not, if that's going to be the same player coming back into this back three, back five, you know, I'm not going to be clamouring for it. But just to have someone who's been at the club for the last 6 years, you know, knows to a certain degree the dressing room, can inspire some of the players that we've got in as well to just kind of
for him having been captain as well. Like, I mean, we've often like criticised the lack of character in this Reading team, like prior to this season, when we finally do have some like big strong personalities in the place at the moment, which is good. I think that's going to hold him in good stead. I'll leave it with this. I think that he's going to probably make more appearances than Scott Dan is before the end of the season. So you know,
I can't fathom that at all.
I mean, to go back to Paul Ince and the, you know, the week that he's had in terms of giving statements to the press, it sounds like shock horror. We're not going to have many players lined up to come in January. It's going to be more about who we tie down. I mean, Ince has said that were it not for the financial situation, we would be like on the lookout to strengthen. And, you know, he hasn't ruled anything out concretely. It would, you know,
someone's got to go out. And, exactly. There has to be someone who is deducted from the squad.
Yeah, and in terms of us, like, saleable assets, we don't really have them at the moment, especially with the Jaro situation and Zhao being out of contract. So, you know, January is looking like it's going to be quiet. I mean, one present that did arrive before January was Paul Ince handing out bottles of bubbly to the members of the press.
What a lovely man. What a lovely gesture.
Apparently the first Reading manager to do it since Yapstan, remember him? Way back when. So if you're listening, Paul, cheers. Thank you for keeping our press well lubricated with your gift of Prosecco. Other fizzy drinks are available. And I mean, who would have thought that Paul Ince would still be in the job by Christmas? I mean, like, not in a negative way, but I remember there was somebody on the Reading FC Facebook page that said if Ince was still in charge by Christmas, he'd, like, streak down Broad Street or something like that. You've got to give him amazing credit for the job he's done.
He's bucked the trend in terms of recent Reading managers, you know. They usually succumb before the transfer window, for a start, because, you know, we haven't been doing well. But also, you know, he's had everything against him in terms of, you know, injuries. He's not the first Reading manager to be on the bad end of that.
Mm.
But, I mean, in the general media as well, the national media, he was easily top of the list.
Yeah.
Easily top of the list to be the first to go.
Yeah.
in terms of championship managers. And do you know what? He's outlasted more than half of them already. So I think hats off to him, honestly.
I'm feeling quite positive going into the new year. I don't know about you.
I remember when we were speaking, a friend of mine just before the anniversary match, the Legends match, and he asked us, what do you want to see from Reading, you know, next season? What can Paul Ince do? Just to bring some sort of like character and you know, some ability to run and to want to play for each other is what we both kind of touched on.
Yeah.
And we've had that so far, you know. Exactly. I mean, technically, have we been like the best that we've ever seen on a pitch for Reading? No, we haven't. We, you know, and also the squad is a little bit mishmash put together. But I'm satisfied, quite honestly. You know, I really worried that I was going to be sat here with Reading firmly in a relegation fight. And whilst we're not out of it because of the league this year being two wins and you're in the playoffs, two losses and you're in the bottom six.
Because of how compact it is.
We've got to, you know, we've got to have as many bodies fit and able, you know, until May.
Well, I just think that, you know, even if you look as recently as our last game against Birmingham, how many times have we rolled over and at 3-0 down? I mean, it was a dreadful first half, but you kind of thought...
Could have been a cricket score.
But we went down fighting. We brought back to 3-2, and that's all you kind of want. And going into this Swansea game on the 27th, you know, we'll give them a game.
I think
they are draw merchants, you know, having drawn four of their last
which
five.
Which we're not.
I know. Well,
we are not
draw
merchants.
We've had, what, one or two draws
two.
This season?
Two. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't really want to predict a draw because it seems a little bit too obvious. So, you know, I might be. It might be because I've been on the booze that you're giving me, Finn. I'm going to predict a win. I reckon we might nick it 1-0.
I think a 1-0.
Yeah, I don't know.
It could be. I have to say, you know, Swansea, a really good team. We just seem to have it in us to, especially at home, you know, we can scrap it out. Have you just spat out the beer?
Yeah, because I got a big glug of oats. It's a bit like a cornflakes.
Oh, it's like, yeah, we seem to scrap out. Jacob seemed to be sickened by the idea.
Sorry about that. Yeah, did an actual spit take on the Umpire's preview podcast. I don't know. I mean, have you got any fond memories of Boxing Day fixtures in years gone by? They're always chilly, aren't they?
Always, yeah. I think, I can't remember the last Boxing Day game that I went to.
Well, I think we were staying at the Baileys, weren't we?
Yeah.
And then we tracked out.
We often go to... Was it Boxing Day that we beat Ipswich 3-2?
I think it might
we
well
got
have
promoted
been.
Most recently.
Yeah, it might well have been.
It was certainly around Christmas. Somebody's
going to fact check us now, like in the comments on Twitter.
No, I've got that wrong.
Ah, oh, there we go.
I think at New Year we beat Ipswich 1-0. Alex Pearce scored.
Oh, good old Pearcey.
And I think we played maybe in like November or October we played. But anyway, always cold.
Yeah.
Feet always frozen.
Because we're filthy part-timers, we're not actually going on the 27th. So best of luck and best wishes to all of you lot that are going. Finn has already had his festive fun. He got second place in the PDC fancy dress competition at Ali Pally for his amazing fancy dress effort. Do you want to tell the people what you went as, Finn?
Well, the boys suggested that we go as... Captain Birdseye and his fish fingers.
And of course you were the man
himself. I had the uniform tucked away in my wardrobe, so that was easy.
You had your parrot confiscated by security.
Yeah, Parsons was taken away.
Yeah,
because they tapped him and they said, no, you could throw that. Yeah. That's a missile.
I mean, what a way to end the podcast. Who would have thought that a parrot could be used as a missile at a sporting fixture? So there you go, that's our Southline top tip for Christmas. Like if you're thinking of going to the Swansea game on the 27th,
Don't take
a parrot with you.
Paraphernalia.
And paraphernalia. Paraphernalia.
Paraphernalia.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I suppose on that note, we better end off. Thank you so much for bearing with us for this rather unorthodox, but hopefully festive and fun edition of the Elm Park Royals preview podcast. Normal-ish service will resume. The next time you hear me, we've got a double bill lined up for you. We're going to have Norwich and West Brom fans on the same pod.
Ooh.
I know about that. We're given the best gift we've given the press recently is the fact that they don't have to come on the preview for a couple of weeks. So thanks to James Earnshaw, thanks to Jonathan Lowe for coming on the pod up until this point in the end. Thanks to all the away fans that give us their views and opinions and insight into all the teams we've played this year. And finally, thanks to you, Finn, for sparing half an hour of your Christmas day.
Well, thank you,
to wang on to me in a cold room. So this has been me, Jacob Southcline, and brother Finn Southcline. For another Round Park Roars pod. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
one and all. Enjoy yourself.
And a Happy New Year.
And a Happy New Year. Take care. And go on, Finn. Give us an up the ding.
Up the ding.
Up the ding.
We'll see you in 2023.
See you later.